has been 4 long months of darkness.
It's day one of the lockout. Formal talks not happening.
4 long months of economics and legalese.
Hockey-related revenues.
Big hole provision.
No reciprocity.
Salary arbitration.
Circumvention of the system.
4 long months of suits, hotels, and escalators. Some days, this seemed like a distant memory. That all changes.
Holy smokes! What a hockey game!
Today is the day talks break off for good. Today, it's finally game on.
From Studio 65 on the Sens Underground Network, welcome to the Sens Call-Ups for Saturday, January 19th, 2013. It's the usual cast of Cardinal, Canuck, and Pan, and we're just so happy to have hockey to talk about that we had to get together right after the Sens win over the Jets. Hockey's back, and even better, the Sens opened with a win. Game one, win number one, not bad. Guys, first impressions of the team.
Great 48 start.
Perfect season. Here we go.
Yeah, I've been driving Puddle Duck a little bit nuts on the forums there. That was actually really nice to get the forums back. I've missed you guys. It's been like, what, 7 months now since we've had an NHL game thread at least?
Welcome back, Groundhogs.
I missed that. I went to Scotiabank Place to watch the game on the big screen there just to be around. I didn't want to watch it by myself or anything, so I grabbed a friend of mine and we hopped out there, and it was fun, actually. It was everything from families to hardcore fans to super fans. It was interesting. It really was. It was nice to be around people.
Well, I watched the game from sunny Florida. In fact, I'm sitting outside right now. It's 19 degrees weather.
Oh, it's jealous. It was brutal out here today.
Yeah, the freezing rain was fun. I'll give you that. For sure. Right. Well, we're not going to be around a whole lot tonight, so... Canuck, let it be known that everybody, all the Groundhogs now hate you. And they'll be sending nasty messages about it, I'm sure.
Excellent.
At least Sistine will.
I didn't say anything about Spencer
right.
yet.
Game one, win number one. I'll do a quick summary. Pan, you're up.
All right, game on! All right, so here we go. So first game of the season, Sens at Jets, 4-1 final. Out of the lineup, Kasper Zagavins, Borokop both sitting. Bishop's upstairs, which we've got Leonard backing up. Healy's in, though. That was a little bit shocking. I thought he quit. But anyways, we'll talk about him later. It's back more to the game. Weirkoch and Benoit were playing together. That was interesting as a third pairing. Really trusting the rookies there, but gaming it up quite well there. Jets really took control in the first, especially in the first half of the period. The first 2 minutes were completely in Ottawa's defensive zone, so that was a little bit nerve-wracking there. Andy started off quite shaky too, and there was a soft shot that ended up making him lose his stick. That flew into the corner. The puck bounced out to the front. No one really knew what was going on there. But Alfie, of course, being the champion that he is, ends up picking up the puck and clearing it out. So that was nice. Now, big Winnipeg shot from the point and hits the post. Then Kane, right up front, hits the post again. Really nice to actually hear that go for us and not against us. Like it did all of last year.
Yeah. hits the post and doesn't go in. What a change from last year, where they just seemed to be always going in.
Well, just ridiculous. So Neil gets a little bit overzealous in the corners, lays a hit into Stewart, who just turns his back in the last minute, but still not with the play that he should be doing. 2 minutes for boarding, and the big Bufflin blasts a wild shot, just high glove side on Anderson for the first goal of the game.
Oh yeah, that was an artillery shot. That one.
It's a great shot. I think I put it in the forms of something. What is it? Velocity is weight times speed or something like that. And he's got a lot of extra weight on him right now, so that's probably what.
V times T.
Friggin' fast. In the neutral zone, Shifley tries to jump to avoid Weerkoch. Catches him just on the leg, and that drew a tripping penalty.
Yeah. Weak.
Yeah. I don't know. Canuck, did you see that one?
I did. It was kind of a phantom call. It looked like a trip when at full play, but...
You know, some of the I guess that stigma that a rookie won't get the calls preferred to them, and so some of the things that we went through last year.
Well, if he's going to get calls like that, then I wouldn't be surprised if he gets labeled as a diver if he keeps, because that was pretty weak.
Exactly. Carlson got called the diver for things a lot more blamed than that.
Anyway. Well, it's okay because they're going to have a lot of calls against Winnipeg too this game, right?
Oh, my God, yeah. Absolutely. Now, next up, Guillaume's introduced to my aunt, Mrs. High.
Oh.
He had a couple beauties and just messed up.
Oh.
Yep. Anyways, so then plays keeps going on, and Midan sneaks it away from Klitsam and pokes it between his legs with the help of Weerkoch. What a freaking goal. So that ties it up. And with that, Benoit also took a rocket of a shot. That was an incredible shot that he took. He played a pretty good game from what I saw, too. Yep. Spezza showed some grit and really started a little bit of a ruckus in the corner after a play. So that I actually really liked seeing his, I guess, leadership and showing the team toughness that Cardinal, you're really on last. I guess this is part of a little bit of the new rules, but Antropov cross checks Alfie. Alfie just slashes him back like you normally would, but both of them get kicked out, or not kicked out, but both of them get penalties for that, for an offset. Just Antropov cannot get that leaf stench off of him.
Yeah, so that was a pretty cheesy play when he was, you know, cross checks him to the leg, like trying to give him a Charlie horse with a two-handed whack.
I was really hoping the team would respond to that in the second period and just cross check him right in the back. Set the tone for the season.
Good
right
point.
There.
Yeah, I didn't think of that. Because that's your captain, and he's always getting beaten up on, and no one's ever retaliated. So that seems to be par for the course again. So the first period, it was fast, or at least what I found. I don't know if it's because I'm not used to NHL hockey anymore. A lot of rusty plays and things that weren't clean.
Yeah, there was not a lot of flow. Not a lot of flow from either team, I thought. There was pressure, but there wasn't a lot of flow.
Now, the second period starts, and the Sens are just never good in the second period. So a lot of offensive pressure with the Jets, and they came out flying. Guillaume trips up Bufflin. That's another two-minute penalty there. On that power play, Ladd takes a point-blank shot on Andy, and he smothers it up. So now he's starting to settle in a bit. At this point, my Wi-Fi died, so I had to fix that, and I didn't really pay attention. But next thing I know, that there's a big scramble in Ottawa's net. Benoit blocks a shot, and he was standing right in the crease. So that was a really good defensive play there by him.
Yeah.
McCulloch takes a man down, gets another 2 minutes for another as holding, but it was a weak call again. With this, then Andy makes a big glove save just to kind of settle things down again. And at this point in the period, it's 8-0 for Winnipeg in shots. There's another good play in regards to Silverberg stealing the puck from Slater. And then right after that, Slater kind of tries to take over and gets a holding call from it. Lots of good offensive pressure on the first on the power play. Then right at the end of it, then on the next shift, Carlson shoots it to the net. Rebound pops out in front of Neil, and he backhands it into the empty net with all the other players out of the way. Back hard at the end of the period. One shot just goes over the net at the end of the period there. Shots end at 9-8 for Winnipeg in the second. So starting off with 8-0 in shots, having some strong goaltending as just to control things, smooth it down, keep them in the game. Then you come back with 8-1 on shots in the middle of the period there.
Yeah.
Third period was kind of lackluster. I don't know if you guys noticed much going on. Carlson seemed to really improve, though. It might just be that he's used to moving his legs that much more. Bufflin was great. He had another big chance. Reagan gets dumped right in the zone, and there's no call on that one. Slater gets a high stick. Gies back in the box again, but it doesn't matter as the penalty kill did a great job moving the box up more to the center ice, and the crowd ended up booing the Jets there because they just couldn't clear through. Good hard shot by Silverberg, who seemed really solid tonight. Smith had a couple great rushes on one shift with good opportunities on the rebound. Andrew Ladd got called for slashing on a retribution slash to the hands of Phillips. That apparently is a new rule. Granted, I didn't know that you could slash people in the hands before, and that was allowed. And Erik Karlsson. Oh, my God, what a shot. Just a laser shot after a beautiful tape-to-tape pass from Gonchar. So I think Gonchar really has come along this year, probably from the KHL. And that was just a great, great shot there. Right after this, Canuck sends me a text saying, "Hey, you called the 3-1 score on the last episode." Right away, Tourist takes a and just dumps it in the back of the net. So thanks a lot for that, Canuck.
Yep. You're welcome.
And so that one actually got started off by Mark Methot. He had a little bit of a defensive gaffe. But that put him behind the play, which allowed him to move the puck up. Tourist ended up getting that goal. So you might want to make things look like mistakes when you actually really meant to do them. But, hey, that's fine with me, and it's Mathot's first point as a Sen. Regan gets a late penalty, but it really doesn't matter because the game's pretty much over. So that's it, 4-1 final. Notes that I've gotten, you guys can jump in at any time. I found it very fast. Once again, it might be that I'm not used to the speed of the game anymore. Granted, watching Montreal and Toronto before this recording, that game is struggling. That might just be a skill thing. Andy looked great after getting his feet wet. And there were 6 points by defensemen.
Yeah.
Wow. So, I didn't catch that. I didn't know that. I didn't hear that stat after the game. 6.
Yeah. So
on 4 goals.
It was incredible. Carlson got a goal and 2 assists. Methot got an assist. Weirkoch got an assist. Gonchar got one.
So Carlson had a 3-point night, so he's now on pace there, Pan, for what, a 144-point season?
So that's even better than last, almost twice as good as last year.
Right on.
So, yeah, so he actually, EK had 3 points, 6 shots, 25 minutes, 35 seconds of ice time. Winnipeg went 1-for-7 on the power play, and Ottawa went 1-for-3.
I saw a lot of people paired with Carlson over the night, Methot the most, but a couple times, like, I saw him out there. It makes sense, he was out there the longest of all Sens. I saw him out there with Benoit, you know, Gonchar in the power play. So he did his typical play a few different lines game. I thought Anderson looked you know, a little shaky to start, and I kind of expected that, but as the game wore on, he was just, no rebounds are coming off that guy.
Oh, yeah.
And you're just swallowing everything.
It almost looked like he calmed down a little bit, like he was a little jittery to start with, and then he got his nerves smoothed down a little bit and just started playing the way that we watched him play so much last year. Calm, smooth, not flustered. But you mentioned early the play by Benoit where he ended up going in where Anderson was way out of the top of the paint, and Benoit ended up coming in from the other side of the net, sliding across and up against the post to make sure that a shot didn't go in. And I was looking at that going, and this guy's been in the AHL for how many years? That was not... I found both he and Wierkosz, when they were playing together, I didn't notice them.
Exactly.
And that's the best praise for a defenseman is, I didn't notice them.
I thought that too. It's there was never a point in the game where it was Wierkosz or Benoit in the back, and I thought, these are the new guys. In fact, the only person I saw have defensive breakdowns that really stood out to me was Carlson. And I don't mean that I was worried about them, but I just happened to notice that he made a few gaffes early on. And and maybe Phillips was tired a couple, like one long shift he was out. But the other guys I didn't notice, they fit right in, and at least in this game, and obviously did their part.
Yeah, exactly. I was watching them. I was expecting to notice them, and I didn't. And I was really... Now, I'll say, I didn't really notice anybody. Because when I say notice, I didn't really think anybody had a particularly bad game. I think there was rust just from not playing. It's the first game of the season with no preseason games. So things were a little, jumpy in the sense that there wasn't a lot of smooth. There wasn't a lot of really good flow going on. There was up and down the ice, but there wasn't the tic-tac-toe passing that we were seeing late last season where they were just sort of in a groove with each other. But I didn't notice anything really bad from anybody. And I was waiting to see something, and I didn't. I was quite pleased about that.
I thought Alfredsson had an amazing, at least start, and certainly I didn't notice him the last half of the game, but he seemed to be really strong from the get-go. Mathot just seemed to be solid, fit right in there, and was doing great. You know who I really noticed was Silfverberg. I thought he had an amazing game. I don't know if I missed something, but he just seemed to be all over the place, and you could see where he looks like he belongs in this league, and he looked like he had rust coming off of him too. But
exactly.
Him and Spezza, you could see where that's going to go if they stay on the line together. So you mentioned at the beginning that Healy was a factor. Now, I had the benefit of watching this on Game Center, so it just cut in. The feed started basically 30 seconds before they dropped the puck. So I missed the whole pregame and the whole rant, but I got the distinct impression that Glenn Healy was in his usual fine form.
That was ridiculous.
I'm trying to think of I'm trying to go back to see if I wrote down what it was that he said, because it was just, it annoyed me to no end.
I know.
It was because
I know what it is.
He was praising Kuba for being so good. Yeah. He was praising Kuba for being so good with Carlson last year, and it's going to be such a problem for the Senators because they've got this new guy, Mathot, and I mean, he's going to have a lot of trouble fitting into where Kuba was. And I'm like, hang on, you blue-tainted bench rider. Kuba played very well last year, but that doesn't mean that Mathot isn't going to do exactly the same thing this year. You can't automatically say, well, he's not going to be as good as Kuba because Kuba was really good. Number one, that's a complete fail of logic that any grade 6 student's going to be able to point out to you. Number two, stop being such a Leaf homer on a national broadcast, please.
I think he just sees the blue and then the Maple Leaf logo, and it just, names like Antropov, and it must just take over.
No, he just kept going on and on about Kuba, and he also mentioned, it's like, so he did such a great job of opening up the ice for Carlson and making the lanes open because he was running interference, which they're going to call now. So it's like, well, if they're going to call that, that's a penalty. And that's not helping the team, and it's not good. I don't know where he was going with, and thank you for PJ Stock for saying, you know what, they've got Mark Mathot, he's 6'2", he's a stable guy, and he'll be able to do it.
Yeah.
And it really seemed that it was, I don't know if Healy was just playing around just to get PJ going, because he did it segment after segment after segment. And that was just ridiculous.
Maybe PJ Stock needs to just drop him. Come on, goalie, let's go.
Oh, that would be great. Just see the two of them start brawling in the CBC Center.
I think it would be great. But overall, my impressions from the game, I'm happy with the win. I think the team played okay, considering this was their first preseason game and it's regular season. I guess the first game they've played together. So I'm quite certain that they'll play. Their play will improve over the next couple of weeks. But for a first game, not bad. Not stupendous, but not bad. And I can live with that. Okay.
I thought it was a great start. I wasn't expecting anything, you know, amazing on game one. In fact, I expected a lot worse. I expected some sort of, like we said, you know, like a 5-4 shootout with all kinds of mistakes. And great start.
Yep.
I saw a lot of positive signs from the team, things to look out for as they improve.
Yeah, exactly. If this is where we're starting from and we're going to improve from here, I think that's a pretty good sign. I really do. Just quickly to move away from the game today, congratulations are also in order to the Binghamton Senators, who won last night and are now the number one team, at least as the beginning of hockey playing tonight, the number one team in the AHL. Best overall. And this is including a three-game win streak for Nathan Lawson, the goalie who's playing down there right now, because both Bishop and Leonard are up here. To say, and Silverberg is up here, and Weirkosh is up here, and Benoit is up here. So they're still moving along pretty well. They're doing very well down there.
They did this by beating Toronto's farm team. So yeah. The Senators' future is beating the Leafs' future. So that's suckage down there for years to come, folks.
Yeah, exactly. With a lovely brawl in the middle of the ice at the end of the game when the Leafs farm team was losing.
Yeah.
Stay classy, Toronto. Stay classy. Pan, just before we leave, do you want to quickly go over what the contest is that's closing tomorrow at noon in case people want to put a last-minute submission in before the contest closes?
Yep, sure. So the contest does close at 12 p.m. Eastern tomorrow. So just to send us your favorite Sens moment in history. So feel free to email that to us, podcast@senscallups.com. You can send that to us over Twitter. Just mention us. You have to follow us as well. And with the hashtag SCU contest. Or also post it in the forums, and we've got a thread for that as well.
Excellent. Canuck, anything else you wanted to add from Florida?
I'm going to the Tampa game. And I look forward to watching the game Monday. Should be another good one.
Indeed.
Monday. Indeed. Game's Friday.
Well, the home opener, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll be back into our regular technological setup for our next podcast, because we won't have somebody down in Florida. But wanted to put something out quickly today. So hope the audio quality of this has worked out. I know we've had a few problems on our end, but I'm sure it'll work out in the end. Quickly, just to wrap up, feel free to email us at podcast@senscallups.com. Love to get email because we will read them. Visit the forums at sensunderground.com. Obviously, there was a good game thread going on today from what Pan was saying. And be sure to follow us on Twitter and make sure you put in something for the contest before it closes at noon on Sunday. Till our next broadcast, don't know exactly when that'll be, but it'll be a couple of games before we're back on the air. Thanks for listening. Talk to you soon.
See ya.
Go Sens, go.